is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Immigration and border security are key focuses in this year's presidential race and the U.S. Senate race in Ohio, as both sides attack the other's policy solutions. But one issue that hasn't been discussed as much is what role new arrivals to this country play in business growth and job creation. Today on Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at the local picture. Joining me now to do that are Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Hispanic Chamber Cincinnati USA President Alfonso Cornejo. Thanks for being here, Alfonso.
Hi, Lizzie.
Hello. Alfonso Cornejo is a member of the Cincinnati Public Radio Board of Directors. Brian, there's been a lot of political talk about immigrants and refugees being a drain on the U.S. economy, but there have been some recent studies that have reached very different conclusions. Tell us about the findings of this recent study from the Department of Health and Human Services.
Sure. Starting with the Department of Health and Human Services, what they're showing is that they studied over a course of 15 years period of the costs and expenses of resettling refugees and helping asylees. And what they found is, contrary to some narratives around refugees taking jobs, is that there's actually a net fiscal impact totaling $123 billion over this 15-year period. So what it shows is that the short-term expenses of supporting and refugees and asylees has a long-term benefit, not only just the humanitarian aspect, but the financial aspect of helping to grow our economy.
So there's a larger gain than what the U.S. spends to help folks get here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Brian, I know there's also recent research by, I think there were four economists from different universities that found that immigrants and children of immigrants are more likely to start businesses than people born in the U.S. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So what we know is that just in general, we have an aging workforce, we have declining population growth. And so we know that in the region, all the population growth is due to immigrants and refugees coming to the region. So they're building the labor supply, and two, they're also creating jobs, as this study shows. And what we're seeing, it's across the board. When we think about Main Street businesses like restaurants, hair, nail salons, the businesses that are adding vibrancy to our neighborhoods, they're creating jobs there. But they're also creating jobs in the startup sector. And if you look at the unicorn businesses, so unicorns are businesses that are valued of $1 billion or over, 80% of those unicorns have at least a co-founder that is an immigrant or a key leader in the C-suite. And then 64% are founded by immigrants or children of immigrants. So we know across all industries and sectors of businesses that immigrants and refugees are driving the growth.
And is that what contributes to that net gain when it comes to what the U.S. gains from immigrants and people seeking asylum versus, you know, what the U.S. spends? I mean, is the business creation part of that?
Absolutely. And the gain is not only the economic impact, but also people want to see themselves reflected in the cultural offerings, and whether it's around food or arts. And so that's why with our work with Cincinnati Compass, we want to have that small business workforce development, because we want to create a welcoming region. And so when people can see themselves reflected again, not only does it help them to grow their businesses and support their families, but it also creates a cultural vibrancy that that attracts people to the region.
Mm-hmm. Alfonso, how are you seeing that play out in Greater Cincinnati in terms of business growth and entrepreneurship around here?
Well, we have seen it in almost all the sectors of the economy. Can be hospitality, can be restaurants, can be construction, can be just you name it. And the way that I see it, the way that I express it, is that at least Latinos are the human energy that provides to the country, to the growth of the country. And maybe in the last 10 years we have been helped by others, but before that there was Latinos. They provide the growth of the nation. And it's just, for example, Latinos at that time created double the number of small businesses than other groups. And Latinas three times. So that's the energy that the Latinas bring to the economy. And for example, in the Cincinnati area, very few people know that we have 240 Latino-owned restaurants in the metropolitan area. Those 240 Latino-owned restaurants, they hire more than 5,000 people. And those are 5,000 people that are paying taxes, that are using transportation, that they're living life to the economy. So we're very, very pleased with it. And we hope that the general community will recognize that they are here to help, here to work, and, you know, take, you know.
Right. Yeah. We're talking about the role that immigrants play in business growth and job creation. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Alfonso, what kinds of businesses are immigrants and children of immigrants starting in the tri-state? You mentioned restaurants. Right. We all have probably our favorite delicious restaurants. But what are some of these other kinds of businesses?
Normally, I mean, put it in perspective, the economy is so good that people do not want to do the jobs that are hard to do. They want to have a computer in front of you and move your mouse and be in the computer all the time, or two days per week you go to the office and you come back, etc. But nobody wants to be outside and in the cold and the wind, in the winter and the summer, doing construction work and doing things with your hands, and those jobs pay well, and people are very, very happy doing it. And they're some of the few groups who want to do those jobs. Without those jobs, we will not be able to do all the construction projects that we have. The new convention center, the suspense bridge, all the just think about the big construction workers that Intel is having in Columbus. That's thousands and thousands of jobs. And those thousands and thousands of jobs cannot open because their buildings are not built yet. And they're not built yet because they don't have workers to put the bricks and to put the everything. So,
sure. Yeah. And Brian, even beyond restaurants and manual labor, talk about some of these businesses that immigrants are starting locally.
Sure. When we think about advanced manufacturing or even in the tech industry around AI and machine learning, there's a lot of growth in that sector. And so Ohio is often in the top five or top 10 of receiving international students. So we're looking at the degrees that founders have in AI, machine learning, engineering. A vast majority of those students are international students. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at ways to retain that talent. We're good at attracting the talent here, but how do we retain that talent? So we see, whether it's in healthcare, manufacturing, other industries, that leaning on AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning, and others, from a computer science background, and so we're seeing those kind of specialties by immigrants and refugees, not only supporting those industries, but starting businesses to lead the growth in those sectors.
Mm-hmm. And to both of you, are these typically businesses that hire other people? You talked about restaurants hiring, but what about these other businesses?
Yes, definitely. The population is not growing as much as we would like. And, it's funny, if you go to a restaurant and there's a Mexican owner with students serving the tables or working in the kitchen. So it's a win-win for both sides.
Yeah. And these are other companies you're talking about, Brian, these tech companies, and they're hiring people too, it sounds like.
Absolutely. You need software developers, marketing, accounting. It's across the board.
Yeah. Brian, what does the data tell you about immigrant entrepreneurs specifically in Ohio?
So in Ohio, the immigrant population is around 5%, which we're below the national average. But again, and I think in this area that immigrants are punching above their weight class in the sense that around while they make up 5% of the population, make up around 9% of all entrepreneurs with an income of around $1.4 billion. So that is in addition to the taxes and others that immigrants bring to the state. Locally, we see that, you know, the population is around 6%. Now, we know that it's probably higher because immigrants are hesitant to complete the census and such. But as of 2018, they made up around 7.4% of business owners. But now with some more recent data, we see it closer to 9%. And so we're seeing that, you know, we know that population growth is driven by immigrants and refugees. And a lot of the new businesses, as we see nationally, are, as by the reports you cited earlier, we see that reflected here locally of immigrants and driving business growth. And this is not a new thing, because going back, American Immigration Council, or back then New American Economy, did a study and found that I'm sorry, it wasn't New American Economy, but it was a Main Street Visits that showed that between 2000 and 2013, City of Cincinnati was one of 31 metro areas that all Main Street business growth was due to immigrants and refugees. Right. So this is not a new phenomenon. This is something where, and that's what we try to show, is that immigrants and refugees are deeply woven into the economic fabric of the region.
Right. In the city of Cincinnati, we have the largest percent, for example, of Latinos and immigrants versus other cities in the area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the city of Cincinnati and the mayor is very happy with that.
Yeah. And Alfonso, how have you seen that change over the time you've lived in Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. You've lived here for many years, I know. I've been interviewing for at least half those years. How have you seen the population change in the time you've lived here?
Well, I made a joke that when I came here, there were 3 Mexicans and I knew the other 2. So now with 0.001%, not, it's a joke, but there were very, very few. Mm-hmm. And now with, 4.2% of the metro area, I feel more welcome because I can see more people that speak like me, look like me. And for example, we have this weekend, we have the Cincy Cinco Festival in Fountain Square. And I invite our listeners to come and eat food, dance with us, and it's very, very fun. But I feel more welcome because you're just a natural thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss what a new U.S. Supreme Court ruling could mean for a new Kentucky law that makes street camping a crime. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the role that immigrants play in business growth and job creation in the region. My guests are Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright and Hispanic Chamber Cincinnati USA President Alfonso Cornejo. You can join the conversation right now by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Brian, you touched on this a little bit before we took our break, but talk a little bit more about what immigrants have meant for our population locally.
That's a big question. This is so much. I mean, just starting from a data standpoint, from population growth, the Midwest has seen population decline for many, many years, decades, and have started to see modest growth. And we need population growth. Why is that? Obviously, a tax base. We need to build a labor supply. We have an aging workforce. And we're not having babies like we used to. So we have to find talent from somewhere. So we see attracting immigrant international talent as an economic imperative. Again, not only to build population growth for, again, the tax base, but also to build the labor supply. They're more likely to be working age and diversity brings innovation. And so we need to maintain our innovation and creativity so that diversity is very crucial to help grow our economy and build our population. Mm.
Well, still, we've been talking about all these contributions that immigrants make to our economy, job creation, business growth, but still the political messaging around immigration is largely negative when it comes to political campaigns. Alfonso, why do you think that is?
I have kids and grandkids and grandchildren here in Cincinnati. And when you see them walking, they are with their phones. When they see them, TikToking, dancing and doing all these things. And people don't have the patience to really go deep into the conversations. Messages that are, hateful or insulting and et cetera, they get a lot of attention because people don't go as far as getting into the why is this guy saying this and why is this happening like this. So it's a very difficult conversation, and primarily with young, I think all the adults, unless they are convinced that we're robbers and we're murderers, and et cetera. But there is lack of information to really justify this. Mm. And I think it's a sad situation, but this is what it is.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Brian? Why do you think this messaging continues to be, so negative in political campaigns in particular?
I think when you look at facts and data, and which I appreciate the bringing these reports up, because the facts and the data just don't bear out the talking points of, taking jobs or draining on the economy. All data points to the very opposite, that... And even when you're looking at things like Social Security and Medicare, immigrants are contributing to systems that they often do not take advantage of. So they're subsidizing the things that we need as we retire and get older and such. But I think the reason is there it's for political gain. And so, and it's really harmful when we're not only it's dehumanizing to the to humans coming to the U.S., but it's also harmful for economic growth. And it just doesn't make sense from an economic development standpoint to have these policies to turn away people who are wanting to work, who have the skills, and help advance this industries that drive our regional economy. So I think it's a financial imperative.
Let me make a comment on that. Over the last 30 years, the Midwest have growth is the region of the nation with the lowest economic growth. The East, the West, and the South have grown tremendously, and we have just not done so. And people do not understand that those were the areas where immigrants naturally come and you know come from Mexico, come from other countries, and stay there, and they bring prosperity. And a lot of Asian immigrants, you know, California and the East Coast also. And if people analyze the advantages of growing equally to the nation, not only, you know, as much as them, but that's a big benefit.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to add to that, Brian?
Sure. Just thinking, I mean, when we think about immigration, the system, it hasn't been... I mean, we had DACA. Mm-hmm. There's been no resolution of DACA yet, but there hasn't been any comprehensive immigration reform in the last three decades. Just think about what's happened in the last three decades. Right. We talked about earlier, AI and machine learning. You know, the economies are completely different. Internet of Things, and we've moved beyond that. But so, you know, in a time where displacement is the largest it's been across the globe. So, you know, as a global leader, we have to be, you know, we have a humanitarian imperative, but also an economic imperative to continue to grow our economy and welcome people as we've done historically. And so I think there's, again, it just gets back to that point of, you know, finding solutions to immigration. Yes, we need to talk about the border and security and things like that, but we need to do so in a way that centers the humanity and dignity of people coming to the U.S.
Right.
And also think about inclusive economic development in ways that drive our economies to continue to have that competitive advantage.
Yeah. Well, I know we're not here to talk about the border, and
sure.
But there are a lot of people who are listening who might think, well, gosh, there are a lot of people at the border. There are a lot of people who are kind of being, you know, transported to other cities from the border. There are cities who are spending a lot to kind of help people who need to get a hand to get started. Do you, either of you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I know that's a whole separate discussion that could be hours and hours long, but Alfonso, what do you think about when you see those headlines and
I think communication and seeking you know, to listen and to understand, and there must be a solution. Like Brian said, you know, 30 years and we have not done anything. You know, one party said one thing, one party said another one, and we just don't move in anything, you know. Again, DACA 30 years ago. This is incredible, and I think just listening and putting your best wishes ahead and having a discussion with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about this study from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that found that over time the country gains more financially than it spends by having refugees and asylum seekers in the country. But there are people who, you know, I just referenced it, have concerns about is immigration a strain on taxpayers, at least right now? How do you answer that if people think, what about right now and the people who need help right now, instead of kind of waiting on that trajectory? What do you think about that, Alfonso?
Well, I think comes back to my previous point. People don't have the time and mental energy to understand what's going on. The larger the amount of people that we have in the city, in Ohio, in the country, benefits the general economy, and that's just not. I mean, people are listening to those short, hateful messages, but not really dipping into the regions.
Mm-hmm. Brian, did you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I think when people are hearing talking points of a particular agenda and not looking at data, and we know that. Again, the economic contributions that even the undocumented community have, you know, because people can lawfully start businesses regardless of immigration status, and because of income taxes and others, like undocumented community members in the state have contributed over $130 million in state and local taxes. So we know, and that's a, they can pay into a system they can't benefit from because they don't have access to that. So I just think that, again, it gets back to how do we drive policy by fact and by where we want to go from an ethical standpoint, but also from an economic growth standpoint. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about immigration, how it's been a key issue during the 2024 presidential race, the Ohio Senate race. It's going to continue to be a big issue. Is there anything else you want people to know and understand about this that we haven't covered today, Brian?
I think it's, you know, what I love about the region is that, and we've talked about this prior to the show, was just how I moved out here in 2008 and just to see how the region has grown and be more welcoming. And so the if we're talking about job creation and entrepreneurship, just the entrepreneurial ecosystem that exists here, from supporting Main Street and restaurant businesses and groups like Finley Kitchen and supporting food-based entrepreneurs and the Latino Entrepreneur Academy to startup businesses. I mean, UC was just ranked for staff and students who are founders that they're 3.3 times more likely to be a unicorn startup than others. And that's just great. And so how do we tap, and we got to continue to tap into that talent, whether it's international students coming to our universities or someone coming here sponsored, or coming as a refugee or as an asylum seeker. Mm-hmm.
And normally immigrants have younger population, younger kids. For example, it's an estimate that 12% of the elementary schools in the metropolitan area of Cincinnati are either immigrants or son of immigrants. And that's, that's a pipeline. And we need to be encouraging that pipeline to go to study and to be, you know, more proactive in their studies to help.
Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright and Hispanic Chamber Cincinnati USA President Alfonso Cornejo. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll discuss what a U.S. Supreme Court case related to homelessness could mean for the tri-state. This is Cincinnati Edition.